The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Okay, so Robbie Graham, how has our perception of UFOs perhaps been distorted by the culture generated from UFO-themed movies?
Well, it's difficult to say. I mean, I think when it comes to entertainment media and UFOs, I think you have to look at cinema as having a particularly unique power. It does have this ability to detach us from our physical environment and transport us to this other, more vivid realm of perception where everything is unreal yet real, illusory yet real. So in film studies, anything that exists within the world of the film is known as diegesis. So the cinema screen is supposed to separate the world, the characters, from our so-called real world. But actually, this diegesis is so the world seeps through the screen and into our world and into our subconscious. And it does become part of our reality, and it does inform our beliefs and our view of the world to an extent, subconsciously and cumulatively over time. And I think that key to movies' power, as I said earlier, is that movies do have this slick, neatly packaged way of narrativizing, of making sense of the world around us. They contextualize the events and the debates and the processes of our world. And no matter what the subject, and regardless of how much that subject has already been written about and debated, once Hollywood has got its hands on it, once it's been Hollywoodized, it is embedded into the popular consciousness, and it's imprinted on our psyche.
So there's a symbiosis there. It's art imitating life, imitating art.
It is, and that's very much how it's become. What you can say, you know, very clearly is that people have been seeing unidentified flying objects in one form or another in the skies for millennia. But the modern UFO phenomenon, as we understand it today, began in 1947, or at least in the early 1940s, with the Foo Fighter phenomenon, and then kind of manifested more clearly in the form of flying discs, although flying discs were also reported in the early 40s. Anyway, in the late 1940s, we had flying saucers. It was only a very short time after that Hollywood began to engage with this cultural hysteria. And it wasn't just a cultural hysteria as well, it was a political hysteria, as we now know. You know, the American government and numerous governments were very concerned about these reports. So it was something that was sprung from our lived historical reality. Hollywood, this fantastical medium, then began to engage with this, and they drew from existing beliefs, debates, ideas, terminology, and they incorporated these things into their fictional narratives. In the process, they fictionalized them. And then you start to have life informing art, informing life, informing art, and it becomes this ongoing process where it's hard to kind of pin down what influenced what and when. Could you remind me of the question you asked me? What was the question?
Well, is art imitating life or life imitating art? There is like a self-perpetuating symbiosis going on. One reality seems to be building upon the cultural programming, and the cultural programming in turn seems to be driving, the subjects. I think your example of the reboot of the X-Files, and of course the remakes of classic films from the past, they tend to incorporate, as you pointed out, the level of understanding and awareness in the average viewer. People seem to be more informed now, even though they're ill-informed in my view. They're being
Sure. So what we can say about Hollywood is that it simplifies. There is a phenomenon, okay, whether it's a cultural phenomenon or an ontological phenomenon, I think it's a bit of both. I think people, certainly in my experience, who I've spoken with, over the years, have had utterly profound experiences, and on some level this phenomenon seems to be objectively kind of measurable, albeit very fleetingly, and in a kind of a way that mocks us. But there is something underlying this, which I think is genuinely anomalous. Now, what Hollywood does is it simplifies this anomalous phenomenon through its narratives and through its iconographic imagery into something that's digestible and processable for everyone, really. And it filters this bizarre, complex, multifaceted phenomenon through the filter of the science fiction genre and through the specifically the extraterrestrial hypothesis, rightly or wrongly. And so this then brings us to the question of UFO origins in nature. What underlies the phenomenon? What is it? This is something that I have the luxury of not engaging with literally, because my job, as I see it, is to be kind of a cultural commentator. I look at Hollywood's engagement with a phenomenon and try to assess the extent to which Hollywood's engagement has affected our perceptions of this phenomenon. I don't attempt to draw conclusions about the nature of the phenomenon itself, and I think that anyone who attempts to draw solid conclusions, or at least reaches a conclusion, is deluded, because it defies our understanding. We are nowhere close to it. Now, that's not to say that extraterrestrial intelligences are not involved. They may very well be. You know, we know, on the face of it, the extraterrestrial hypothesis has considerable merit. I understand, a lot of people have raised serious objections to it, and for understandable reasons, but at the same time, mainstream science tells us that we live in a universe that's bursting with other planetary bodies, inhabitable star systems, and if the laws of evolution are universal, then it's utterly inconceivable that life will not have evolved on other planets in the universe. And given the age of the universe, that 13 point some billion years, it's also extremely hard to believe that life will not have evolved into intelligent beings who could far surpass us technologically. So given those facts, and given, again, theoretical science's ideas about hyperspatial travel and interdimensionality, certainly in theory, and I stress in theory, it's possible that other, beings from elsewhere in the universe have visited us and may be actively visiting us. The extraterrestrial hypothesis is not absurd when applied to UFOs. But at the same time, given what people report at a grassroots level about UFOs, it would seem that the UFO phenomenon is far weirder than just extraterrestrial visitation.
I think we can agree that it is far weirder.
And may go far beyond that. And it challenges us on levels that just are really terrifying to think about. And so I don't draw conclusions. I say extraterrestrial hypothesis is appealing on certain levels, but problematic as well. And I don't rule anything out when it comes to UFOs. I don't draw conclusions. I know that it's utterly stumped me, and I don't expect to have any answers to it anytime soon. And again, this brings us back to this idea of disclosure that people keep. The disclosure movement is a religion within a religion. It's built on the idea of saviordom, and it has all the key ingredients of any kind of popular religion, and I get the appeal of it. I've been there. And I think a lot of people who've been in this field long enough kind of can see the appeal of it. But
well, especially when you're formulating jokes for a comedy routine.
I just don't see, what's to disclose? How do you what's to disclose? And this takes me back again to one of your comments about close encounters of the third kind, where you mentioned that it was interesting that the intelligences in the film, they make contact at a grassroots level. They contact these implantees, and this is really annoying to officialdom in the movie, because they don't want them there. So these guys have all been drawn individually to the site of contact at Devil's Tower, and this is unbeknownst to the military, who want their own private communion with these beings. And
they were invited,
right? But they were invited, right? The phenomenon itself, whatever it is, doesn't seem to have much interest in making mass contact. It seems to flit in and out of people's lives at individual levels, confuses people, wows people, terrifies people, and kind of pushes people to explore different avenues, but it doesn't seem to have any interest in making mass contact in the style of a typical Hollywood movie. Obviously the American government has studied this phenomenon over the years to some level.
We've got to do a break here with Robbie Graham and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
you're fascinated by UFOs, ancient aliens, archaeological mysteries, ghost hunting, Atlantis, and any other paranormal topic as we are, be sure to check out apmagazine.info each month. Since 1985, it has presented the latest research by top researchers like Andrew Collins, Brad Steiger, and many others, and contains interviews with such leading personalities as Jacques Vallée. Click on one of their banners and check out apmagazine.info. As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I don't know what Chris said there when he said the Paracast, but that's okay. We have Robbie Graham joining us this week. So, Robbie, would you continue your remarks?
So let's say the American government has studied the phenomenon historically, and we know that's the case, but we don't know how deeply. A lot of that is speculation. But we know that they studied it, you know, to some extent. But what conclusions are to be drawn? A lot of what the UFO community thinks it knows about the American government's relationship to this phenomenon has been the result, demonstrably, of disinformation efforts tracing back to the early 1980s, late 1970s, early 1980s, disinformation efforts on the part of Air Force intelligence and the CIA to sow a particular idea into a subculture, which would then eventually bleed into pop culture. And it creates an image of a American power structure, which is deeply engaged with this subject. You know, so it puts across an image of an American military, for example, who have treaties with super advanced extraterrestrial entities. And it gives the impression that they are working hand in hand in secret bases and that the aliens are sharing their technology with the US military exclusively, that the American military have successfully reverse engineered this technology and are applying it. This gives the impression on a sort of a drip-drips kind of a non-direct way to foreign powers that the American military is not to be messed with, because, as we know, foreign powers have also historically looked into this phenomenon and have treated it seriously, especially the Russian.
What I'm hearing here is you're saying that it sounds like disinformation of the kind you're describing has been latched onto by people that have this semi-religious fervor for the government to come clean, and it's almost like the government's created a monster. So in other words, the disclosure movement is reacting to the disinformation and has created this kind of weird sort of riptide effect that the government's having to deal with.
That's it. You've got it. I think that's very much it. It's blowback, to use the CIA term.
Here's a question from William Strathman, and he's wondering, outside the U.S. and Hollywood, have other governments influenced their own film industry in regards to UFOs or the paranormal? And he gives a rough example to clarify, perhaps MI5 and Quatermass in the Pit, or I would add the original movie Solaris and the KGB.
It's a really great question, and one that I wish I could answer, because, my focus has been so heavily on Hollywood that I've really neglected other film industries, despite being British. But what I can say on the UK front is that, you know, we really don't – we like to think we have a film industry, but we really don't. It's not to the extent you can actually call it an industry. It's kind of a semi-industry. And we don't make many genre films. We, you know, the history of British cinema is we have a history of making socially reflective films, dramas. We don't make many science fiction films. Certainly as the years have progressed, we've been involved in a lot of science fiction films and had cross-productions. But historically, we don't have many science fiction films. We don't have many UFO-themed movies, although you mentioned Quatermass in the Pit, and there are others. There are a number of examples over the years. There's another one from 1969 called The Body Stealers as well, which is actually the first alien abduction movie ever. But certainly the UK film industry has a very different relationship with officialdom than the American industry does. Our film industry is much smaller, and our military is much smaller, obviously, as well, and the relationship is different. At the same time, there are examples of MI5 and things like that having influenced the content of productions, and I think that there are some examples when it comes to the James Bond films as well.
Well, the James Bond films, though, are produced by American companies, even though people from the UK are involved.
That's right. So a lot of what we think of as British films are really not British films. I mean, it depends on your definition of what a national film is. Sometimes our films will be populated with British actors, but produced entirely with American funds, for example, or largely with American funds and through an American distributor. So is it British or is it American? But no, the short answer is that we don't really have a history of making UFO-themed productions in this country, and certainly not movies. And the relationship is not to the extent that it is in America, although certainly there have been efforts in various different genres to kind of monitor and manipulate, because any government in any country recognizes the influence and power of entertainment media and of Hollywood and of a movie generally, this power to narrativize issues.
Well, wasn't the original UFO TV show, wasn't that a British production in the mid-60s?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, the...
And what was the name of the purple-haired chick that I was in love with as a kid?
God, you're asking me now. I'm going to have to look it up on IMDb.
I was kind of joking.
We're going to have to...
I just remember that there was some kind of fear-mongering going on in that show, although I don't really remember it that well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and there were actually a few productions in the 60s, 70s and things like that, which were quite influential, I suppose, but most of these films were made independent of external influence. So As far as the Russian industries, again, you know, let's face it, Hollywood is by far, apart from Bollywood, Hollywood is by far the biggest film industry, and it's historically had a much closer relationship with its government than others have, at least in terms of UFO movies, because again, although the UFO phenomenon is global, it's most historically associated and culturally associated with America.
And it's also associated with Southern California. I have a question here from Ravensfee, who's been a poster for almost 2 years at forum.theparacast.com, where our listeners and forum posters can ask questions of our guests. And Ravensfee has one for you. Southern California has a rich seam of mid-20th century UFO and occult history. To what extent has the Hollyweird, I added that, film industry been influenced by the esoteric geography it finds itself in and the contactees and the magical practitioners that once and still do populate it?
Again, excellent question. The geography and the different cultures. Again, my angle here, so I've worked from an expertise in propaganda studies, really, when it comes to Hollywood post 9/11 specifically, but also historically, when it comes to Hollywood more broadly, not just UFOs. So that's kind of my angle, really. It's more of a straight on angle, as relates specifically to UFOs and the politics of that. There are other researchers who have produced interesting material on the esoteric angles of Hollywood and the magical aspects of these productions, but it is something that I myself have not really delved into too much, so I wouldn't want to just sort of talk on something that I'm an expert in. But it's a great question. As for the landscape, some people might be aware of the fact that in Hollywood there was a Lookout Mountain, which was a kind of a covert film studio, essentially a secret film studio that was run by the U.S. government, that made it made kind of film reels for propagandist purposes, and there was a lot of speculation that Hollywood filmmakers were involved in these practices, and that some various secret things were shot, with Hollywood. And so that's...
Let's break it, then we'll continue. Okay, with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't take on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
It's no secret that pathogens such as bacteria, viruses, molds, and fungus can inflict severe damage in the human body. Fortunately, a new and vastly improved silver solution has been developed. Supernatural Silver is a revolutionary broad-spectrum antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal solution that can be used inside the body as well as on the skin. Supernatural Silver is unique and superior to colloidal and ionic silvers, using a patented technology that is
is highly effective against colds, flus, infections, food poisoning, and yeast, in addition to many other pathogens. Supernatural Silver is scientifically supported, extremely safe, and is the number one choice of thousands of people for immune system support. Find out how Supernatural Silver could change your life. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code HEALTHY for 20% off. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. And like us on Facebook.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Now you can buy, for the first time ever, the 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-329-6700 right now or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. 1-800-329-6700.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, Chris is adopting new voices for every segment. We have no idea why he does that.
I have an idea why The Walking Dead was done in Georgia. I mean, it's perfect location to have a bunch of dead zombies walking around, I guess. Anybody from Georgia out there in the listening audience, that was a joke. I didn't mean it.
All right. Let us continue, sir.
It was. Well, you know, here's a question that I meant to ask earlier when we when you brought up the 90s TV show Dark Skies. We've had Bryce Zabel on the show a number of times. And John Leongard has an article called 10 Essential Hollywood UFO Conspiracies. And one of the things in there that he mentions is something that you kind of alluded at previously. He makes the observation the inclusion of such intricate ufological detail in Dark Skies apparently attracted the attention of real government UFO spooks, leading to a series of bizarre conversations with individuals claiming to be from U.S. Naval Intelligence who seem to have been monitoring the development of the TV show. For Zabel and, I guess, the producer Friedman, their fiction had suddenly become all too real, and the spook producers thought it best to have no further contact with their mysterious observers. Now, Bryce did kind of go into some explanation about this, but he didn't. He kind of beat around the bush a little bit and didn't really give us, I think, the bottom line on this. What do you know of this particular claim of interest by the U.S. Naval Intelligence or Office of Naval Intelligence and their interest in the Dark Skies series?
Well, I only know what Bryce told me. I've spoken to Bryce at length about this and had some input from Brent Friedman as well, which is co-creator on the show. And yeah, I got to say, I think you know, I think Bryce does beat around the bush on this, to be honest. I think it makes him quite uncomfortable because the way he's related it, and you know, I know Bryce might be listening to this, and that's fair enough. But I think, you know, I think that what he related to me is a very, very clear example of a furtherance of this disinformation campaign, which was launched in the 80s, because everything, it ticks all the boxes. What you had was, I mean, he said that, you know, Bryce said that he and Brent Friedman were approached by these guys who they were really convinced at the time were the real deal. They said that they spoke the language, they had the look, and it was, you know, they did not mess around. These guys were serious. And he said that, you know, they turned up at Bryce's kind of rap party that they were having for the show in 1996. And this was a private gathering at Bryce's house in Los Angeles. And there were about 200 guests, all invited, all from the cast and crew. And to kind of keep it in theme, they had badges, kind of like a wink and a nudge, and the badges that they wore were Majestic 12 badges, and with their face on them, and ID badges. And so, about, you know, into the night, they realise that there's some guy there who doesn't have a badge, so obviously hasn't been invited, but he's at the party, and he approaches Bryce and Brent in the kitchen, and says, I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, we've seen your show. And we like, you know, some of it, and some of it you've got right, but some of it you've not got right at all, and we want to help you get it right. and they were like, who the hell are you? And he was this kind of youngish, well, sort of late 20s, early 30s, preppy-looking guy, they said. And he said, well, it's not important, you know, who I'm with, but we can help you, and we'd like to talk to you further about your show. And Bryce was like, you know, how has this guy even seen the show? Because they've only, you know, it's not been screened publicly. There's only been private screenings of it at this point. And the guy seemed to even know the plot details of further episodes that hadn't even been filmed yet. He seemed to have very, very detailed knowledge of the show. And none of this was public knowledge. So they were a bit confused by this, but anyway,
they had to take him seriously.
Well, but they had 200 guests there, and Bryce was like, I can't deal with it. I've got too much stuff going on. So they didn't really know what to think of it. And honestly, Bryce, although he's fascinated by the subject, he's more fascinated in it from a creative perspective. He genuinely doesn't know what to believe when it comes to, you know, which is a good thing. I mean, but he generally doesn't kind of reach conclusions about what the nature of the official involvement is, you know. So he's not really conspiratorially minded, although he's interested in that stuff from a creative perspective, but he's not actually a conspiracy theorist. I think he finds conspiracy theory interesting, but he's not a conspiracy theorist. So it was deeply excited him at the time, this guy approaching. That's the impression I get. But then after the party had ended, this guy made contact with them again, I think, or he went and approached Brent and spoke to Brent more. And then Brent said, okay, let's arrange a meeting. And they had a meeting at Bryce and Brent's office, Hollywood. And this time the guy showed up with two other guys, another guy who was another young guy and an older guy. And they said that they spoke to them for about 2 hours. They had this meeting that went on for about 2 hours, and these guys told them all sorts of stuff about, you know, the government and UFOs, and spun a whole very convincing, very layered, detailed narrative. And they, you know, they showed them and then they were getting quite, and these guys apparently were getting really angry with Bryce and Brent. They were kind of like shouting at them at some points, and they were kind of swearing at them, and, you know, and saying, you guys don't even know what the hell you're messing with here. You can't just put this stuff on screen, and, you know, we need to help you get it right. And they pulled out some vial of liquid gold or something and put it on the table and said, you guys don't even have this, you know, you don't even have this in your show. Like, you don't even know what the hell you're dealing with. And they were like, well, they didn't even know what to make of what, you know, of this. They were really confused and a little bit freaked out. And the guy said, look, if you want to, we want another meeting with you, but we can, introduce you to the big guy, to the boss. And it's, I should clarify, these guys said that they were with Naval Intelligence. They said they were with Naval Intelligence. And Bryce and Brent said that these guys looked the part. They looked like military guys. They looked like Special Forces guys. They said they looked like SEALs, like Navy SEALs. And they, you know, everything about it was totally convincing. And so, you know, and if it was a hoax, like, for what, to what end, you know? What's the purpose of the hoax? Like, if it's just a couple of actors, you know, pranksters or whatever, how would they get wind of the party? How would they get all of this information? How would they know about the script? You know, so the indication is that there probably was some government agency monitoring the show for obvious reasons, because it's heavily explicitly ethological and does shape popular perception, and it's a potential disinformation opportunity to get involved with. So these guys, I mean, so they said, look, we can introduce you to the big guy, but in order to do so, you're going to have to meet him where we say. And then they later told them that the meeting place was a cemetery at midnight.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No.
Oh, and, this is fascinating. See, I never heard any of these details.
And so Bryce at that point said, right, that's it, I'm out. He said, I'm out. Like, I've got a wife and kids, and I've got a show to run, and I want nothing more to do with you. I don't want any part of this. And that was that. And so I think those military guys or whoever they were, they called Brent maybe a couple more times after that, but that was it.
Okay, folks.
I'm liking that.
Oh, yes, that's fascinating. What's fascinating is our second radio show. After the PowerCast, to be able to get that show, you have to be a member of the PowerCast Plus, the one and only way. Go to plus.thepowercast.com, plus.thepowercast.com. We have some show transcripts. We introduce a video channel, and we give you the ad-free version of this show with higher quality audio. One more segment, okay? One more segment with Robbie Graham. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the PowerCast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day. But growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigBuckRiches.com, Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
75 years ago, America suffered one of the worst moments in American history, the attack on Pearl Harbor. Now you can remember December 7th, 1941, with the purchase of the first ever 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-490-3200 right now for the official 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve, the only company authorized to distribute these 100% solid gold coins. Remember Pearl Harbor with this limited official gold release. 1-800-490-3200 or online at usmoneyreserve.com.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our Healthy Body Weight Loss System simply neutrophies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We don't have a lot of time left for Robbie Graham. I want to ask you a couple of quick questions, quick answers, that we kind of left on the table and didn't get to. What attracted you to the subject of UFOs and film?
Well, my interest in UFOs predates my interest in, or my kind of academic interest in film. I've always been interested in UFOs since my childhood, always been interested in the weird and the wonderful, and never really seen anything amazing in terms of UFOs. I've seen a few things that could, you know, loosely be defined as unidentified flying objects. But, you know, for UFOs, for me, have always represented, you know, that and I think this is what appeals to a lot of people when it comes to UFOs. They've always represented this sort of glimmer of hope for humanity. They offer us a glimpse into this broader reality, into, you know, an expanded universe where anything's possible and where us primitive humans can have the chance to see past our superficial differences and recognize that we're all part of the same species in this tiny planet and this limitless universe. So that was something I think subconsciously drew me to this subject. In my late teens, I started to become interested in films because I started to study film at college, and then I went to university and went on to do a master's degree, and so I academically just was focused on film, and that became my real passion in life. But my interest in UFOs never went away, and then in my mid-20s I decided to start to merge my interest in UFOs and film, because I did start to recognize that although people, as I say, people in the UFO field have a general interest in UFO movie, very few people, or no one that I could see was looking exclusively at the interplay between UFOs and Hollywood in a serious way, with a grounding in film studies. And so what I saw was that two other people had written books on the interplay between UFOs and Hollywood, but those books were now today sort of 16, 17 years out of date. No one has written anything exclusively on this topic for a long, long time. And so I think it needed clarity. And I was interested in it. I was interested in this question. And I started to do it as a PhD. I spent 3 years on it and then ultimately decided to take it down a more populist route. And it turned out to be the book. So it's something that's just kind of welled up in me for a long time, and I finally got it out.
Chris?
I was going to say a marriage made in inner space or something. this is the question I wanted to ask before we run out of time. This is a very good one from Eric the Red. And he says, you can posit a continuum along which aliens are depicted in film. At one end would be aliens that are little more than mirrors of humanity and all our limitations. At the other end would be conceptions of the alien that thwart many or most of our familiar categories and basically defy comprehension. His question is there any trend in film over the past decades that depicts aliens as more unknown than known, more incomprehensible than familiar? And if you do see a trend, what explains it, and where are those cool films now? I add.
Great question. There have been a handful. So it's not a trend. There have been a number of films and TV products over the years which have sought to put across the image of the alien as being something that is more incomprehensible.
Yeah, the thing. Classic.
Right. Well, yeah, but I mean, even more bizarre than that, you know, so some things where it's even harder to kind of put a label on what we're dealing with in terms of just otherworldly intelligences that are not even corporeal. But those are the exception rather than the rule. The trend, which is very clearly observable, is, again, I've referred to it earlier, the trend is that as a new generation of filmmakers has come to the fore, this generation of filmmakers has been born into a culture where what was fringe culture is now pop culture. And so the UFO mythology is now part of our pop cultural landscape. And most people nowadays have some notion of what Area 51 is, of what a grey alien is, of what Roswell might represent, albeit skewed and distorted notions. But we all have these ideas, and we all see the so-called UFO footage on YouTube, and it's just part of the cultural landscape now. This wasn't always the case, and this has happened fairly rapidly over sort of a 10, 15-year period. But new filmmakers are being born into this landscape, and what they're doing is they're very consciously drawing from this rich mythology, and they're incorporating it into their narratives to enrich those narratives. And so what they're doing is they're drawing from the archetypes, they're drawing from the iconography, which is the classic flying saucers, although a lot of Hollywood filmmakers go out of their way now not to have, you know, very stereotypical flying saucers because they see that as being too cliched, so they'll kind of often make, you know, creative amendments to the saucer image, but it'll still be vaguely saucer-shaped. And then you'll have... To a huge extent, you see the variants on the archetypal grey image. You know, the big head, the spindly body, the large eyes. A lot of the movies over the past few years, especially in the horror genre, sci-fi horror genre, have drawn from this image. And so, what you're seeing is the inclusion, much more so, of ufological detail in these narratives, and that's the trend. And the trend is also found footage now as well. So it's a conscious effort not only to blur fact and fantasy at a narrative level, but also at a practical level in terms of filmmaking technique as well. So you're having faux documentary style movies being produced.
They're a lot cheaper. You know,
and that's the reason, that's the main reason they're made, that is the reason they're made, because it's easier to make them, they're very cheap to produce. And the result, I mean, that I've observed is some people, perhaps less sophisticated cinema-goers, really aren't sure what to believe when they see things like The Fourth Kind, which came out in 2009, which purported to be, you know, real events shown alongside dramatic reconstructions of these mass abductions in Alaska. That film was faux documentary style, and then you've had a number of other films like Alien Abduction, which came out in 2014, again featuring greys and things like that. And so a lot of these films, the trend is that they're really incorporating the archetypal ufological imagery and themes, abduction, cattle mutilate, all the dark themes, of course, because that's what sells. You know, you don't often get many films about benevolent contact or peaceful telepathic contact with space brothers anymore, because it's harder to write creatively. You know, it's hard, as you say, most, you know, films, they dumb down now in any genre.
Fear sells,
and love is harder to sell when it comes to a subject like this, at least.
In this day and age, even Superman can't be the good guy. He has to kill people, like in Man of Steel.
Right.
He killed General Zod. And as some of you already know, there's lots and lots of gratuitous violence in Batman v Superman. For listeners who want to follow through on more of the stuff that you do, Robbie Graham, would you tell them where they can find you?
Yeah, my website is silverscreensources.uk, or you can just search for it online and you'll find it in any search engine, Silverscreen Sources. That's got my website, links to the book, various links to other articles and things like that. I appreciate your time.
Are you planning a second book on the subject?
On this particular subject, well, what I might do in a few years' time, in maybe 2 or 3 years' time, is do a revised and expanded edition of this book. But it will only be a few amendments and a few more case studies. But that might just be a few years down the road. And then I am dabbling with the idea of doing a similar book, but on broader paranormal subjects. So the fact and fantasy of broader paranormal phenomena. So Hollywood's engagement with all sorts of psychic and paranormal and cryptozoological phenomena.
You can find us on Twitter. Go look for the Paracast. Look for the Paracast on Twitter. Look for 2 Paracast fan clubs on Facebook. One's a group, one's a community. Don't ask me to explain why you have to have one or the other. Just join both. We appreciate that. We'd appreciate it if you'd listen to our other radio show. It's called After the Paracast. What is it? Well, we have extended interviews with guests that continue from the main episode of the Paracast. We have color commentary. We talk about the state of the world and our own state, depending on how things are. To become a subscriber, you have to join the Paracast Plus. At plus.theparacast.com, that's plus.theparacast.com. We also offer an ad-free version of this show. We remove 41 minutes of network ads. We also give you higher quality audio because it comes direct from our master recording that goes to the network. We've got other features to come, and of course the subscription rate is not that expensive. Our price cheap. Go to plus.theparacast.com. Once again, go to plus.theparacast.com. Robbie Graham, Silver Screen Saucers, is a fun book. Thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thanks so much, guys.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hi, Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you love.